But didn't it seem like there were more on Saturday? I mean, it felt that
they
way
to me. They just kept panning. That's the go-to of, like, the cameraman. Find me a Leaf jersey. Find me, like, I don't know. You can't tell.
Well, but the broadcast crew pointed that out, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Houston said a couple of times it feels like it's close to 50-50.
Well, don't kid yourself. There's a lot of red jerseys when they play in Toronto.
Yeah, there is. But I've never witnessed 50-50. I've been to a bunch of Leaf-Habs games.
50-50 is a lot.
50-50 in a major market like that. That was surprising to me.
Yeah. I don't know. If somebody was there, they can give us a shout. It didn't seem like it was 50-50 to me. That's a bit rich.
Well, were you in the building?
I know, but I mean, somebody pointed out. Like, there's no way it was 50-50. That's not a chance.
How do you know that? How do you know there weren't 10,000 Maple Leaf fans?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, I know, like, they travel well. There's no way they bought up half the building. That's utter insanity.
Okay. Well, let's see if we can corroborate that report.
A super fan's going to go, I was there.
What, you think 50-50? Houston's a huge super fan? Like, Jim Houston's a Maple Leaf fan?
But I think 50-50 is slightly rich. That would be my
guess. That's your guess from afar.
But again, okay. I'm from afar. I watched it on TV.
Too, like 50-50 is too much.
Maybe it's 30-70, which would still be traveling very well. Like, let's not.
I'm going to go with 50-50.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 50-50.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Just to bother Habs fans.
Yeah, I don't think it was.
Okay.
But maybe. You never know.
Hey, maybe 60-40. We'll meet in the middle. You guys say 70-30. I'll say 50-50, so we'll go with 60-40.
Exactly.
Still, nevertheless,
traveled,
you know, for a Montreal team that was a point behind, you know, I understand StubHub and the secondary market and all that, but at some point, ticket holders must have been selling their tickets, and Leaf fans bought them up.
Exactly.
Which happens in Buffalo all the time. It happens in Ottawa. I don't expect to see it in Montreal, is my point. Yeah. Even if it is 70-30, seems a bit rich. I've been to, again, a bunch of Leafs-Habs games. It might be 80-20. Maybe.
Right.
Maybe. And that's when the Leafs were brutal, and the Habs were, like, a really good team.
Yeah.
The Habs are here two Saturdays from now. There's no way it'll be close to 50-50 or 60-40.
No. No.
Safe to say that?
There'll be a lot of Habs fans, but not that much.
No.
No, like, not even close.
But I don't think there was 50-50 the other night. I think that's exaggeration.
Okay.
Well, just slight.
I wasn't in the building, so
neither
what
was I. I was just watching it, but it's easy for the broadcast of every time.
Shoot us a note if you're in the barn. Like, let us know.
Yeah, if you were there, send us a text, 10-50-50, or email us live at tsn1050.ca.
But a non-biased fan, send one in.
Well,
that's the thing.
Dylan sending this text in. Now, he wasn't there on Saturday night.
Well, then
because he's got his own anecdote here. He said he was at the Bell Center last year, the November 18th game, and he said it was definitely 50-50.
Yeah, okay. Well, a year and a half ago, that's thanks for your input. Like, what has that got to do with a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
Like, where the team was... Montreal was really bad last year, were they not? So I'm sure those tickets probably went a lot.
Well, that was early in the year, though. Jackson tweeting in. I was at the game. It was 50-50.
Yeah, no. Not a chance. Sorry, Jackson. Don't believe you.
All right.
Non-biased fans, send in a note.
Michael tweeting in. I was at the game. It was closer to 60-40 Habs. There you go. Unbiased Michael. That's his handle on Twitter.
The realist has spoken.
The realist.
At the real Michael.
Put it this way. The Leafs traveled well, and they had a lot of fans there the other night.
Yeah. 60-40. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. Hey, Ray.
I was on my couch. It was 76-24.
See, that sounds that sounds about right to me.
So,
you know, like, how many tickets could be available?
Exactly.
50%.
So Franklin just sent a note to me, and he said, got a buddy that was a camera operator there, 70-30, I'm told.
Well, oh, Franklin,
everybody's
thank you
got
that?
A story.
Well, that's the point. It's
R. Franklin
just sent me a note.
He can't count.
He's not the guy. He said he had a buddy who's a cameraman.
No, but I'm just saying, you know, Franklin can't count.
Yeah, I know. We're not sure what's going on. We're basically arguing about how many fans were in the building instead of talking about what a great game that was.
Right, but it's more interesting us doing this.
Yes.
I think it's compelling radio.
Yes, I'm sure it's compelling.
Yeah, someone texting in saying Hayes is talking about this like Trump talked about his inauguration crowd. Fake news, Lion Brian Hayes. All right, that's fine.
It was the most people ever here.
way bigger than any other inauguration.
Don't let those pictures fool you.
No, why would we allow evidence to actually dictate, you know, the facts here? But that, I mean, Noodles is right. Saturday night, I don't know if you got a chance to see it, Ray, but it was an awesome game.
That was so fun. Like, it was, I can't believe, like, the change in Montreal this year. And for a guy that both Noodles and I played with, and he was one of the funniest humans, or is, in Mark Bergevin. Some of his moves over the last couple of years, you go, man, this team's not getting better. It's getting worse. He says after last year, this is about attitude. We can be better fast. And quietly, they changed 8 players on the roster. And, man, they don't even look like anything like last year's team. I'm amazed, honestly, how fast they are. Because last year, eventually Toronto would have run them over with speed. And that it would have just happened. But everything looks different. Their style of play is different. They don't fiddle around with that D-to-D pass and nice and slow up the other side. Man, it's up the ice. It's fast. It's, you know, the goalie is back to being all-world Carey Price. I thought the game was awesome. It felt like one of those, you know, February playoff game. You're like, wow, where did that come from? That was great.
Well, if that ends up happening and they meet in the first round, I would assume home ice will factor into this. Let's say the Leafs end up with home ice. Vegas would have the Maple Leafs as a favorite, but would they be a moderate favorite, a heavy favorite? I mean, play odds makers for us, Ray, based on what we know today, Leafs versus Habs in a 7-game series.
So we're thinking about it as like the season just played, like the season ended today?
Right, game one tonight. Game one, this roster on both sides, game one tonight.
I would say Leafs small favorite.
Okay.
But a favorite. You know, like not a pick 'em. I would pick them to win the series. You know, they don't have the goaltending. I would say I'll say it's a wash. The defense, you know, we don't love Toronto's defense, although it's been better than it has been since Muzzin's arrived. But Montreal doesn't have a great defense. And then up front, I think Toronto's got a couple more game breakers. But I would think it would be fun and super fast and really intense. And man, that would be a fun series to have.
Yeah, it really would be. I don't think you can go wrong. You know, if it's Montreal or Boston, the storylines kind of write themselves. And I would expect a pretty lengthy series in both scenarios.
Yeah.
You know, I think, based on history, if it's Leafs-Bruins, the Bruins would probably be favored. Regardless of where we sit on April 10th, people would just say, well, history. Boston has their number, and history would dictate that it's going to get to 7. The Leafs will have the lead in the third period, and they'll lose somehow. But with Montreal, I think it's a little bit... That's a pretty jaded statement, huh?
That really was.
I think I've been down this road before, only a couple of times. But either way, you can't really go wrong. And Habs-Bruins, I mean, there's an incredible recent history, let alone the long-standing history between those two teams.
I think when they went to the divisions, this is kind of what they were hoping for. Like when they redid the divisions in the playoff format. Too many times, though, it's not that. There's, you know, the newness of a Toronto-Montreal series would kick it way over the top. You know, these historical franchises that haven't played in 40 years, and man, that would be awesome. And then, of course, the recent history of the Bruins and the Bruins and the Leafs. But go to another division, and if Columbus plays Washington 4 years in a row, is that like stoking anybody up? Maybe, but not the same as this.
Ray, of the teams in the Atlantic, who do you think might kind of double down here and load up? Boston? I mean, I don't even know if Tampa has any room to do anything. Toronto, how do you kind of see things playing up here leading to the trade deadline?
I think Boston's the team that has enough prospects to be the most aggressive. They've got a bucket load of young guys. They got a couple of centers in Forsbacka, Carlson, and Frederick that would be part of any deal they could make going forward. They have young guys like Donato. Would they get into Danton Heinen? I don't know. Anders Bjork, who is a really good prospect, who's been hurt 2 years in a row. Would a team be interested in him? But Boston's looking for another game breaker. They've I found it interesting they moved finally, well, not finally, but they moved Pasternak off the Bergeron-Marchand line to play with Krejci. I mean, they're looking for some depth because, you know, as everybody knows, it's shut those guys down and you've pretty well shut the Bruins down. So I'm thinking the Bruins are the most aggressive team in the division.
What about this Maple Leaf power play? Getting back to them quickly, the numbers are pretty astonishing. I mean, they're 4 for their last 43 since December 20th, yeah. Under 10%. And I know they had a bunch of chances last night. And if you just focused on last night's game, you put that in a bubble, you'd be like, wow, they must be running at 35%.
They're really moving it around.
Yeah. But if you don't score, you know, what are you really accomplishing? It's really that simple on the power play, right? It's not about killing time and looking good. At some point, you got to execute.
Right. The one stat I saw was in the previous 10 games, the Bruins power play had, or the Bruins, the Leafs power play had 22 shots. Last night, they had 23. Like, just think of that. They had 22 shots in the previous 10 games on the power play. That's abysmal. That's like Thrasher power play. and of course that shouldn't be. So now all of a sudden you've got a chance here and you go into New York and you get 23 shots and they should have had 4 or 5 goals. They don't get any, but you have to look at this like, okay, this is finally something we can build on. They didn't look like they were struggling or lost or not. How the hell do we get into the zone? You know, which has happened way too frequently for them. I don't know how the wheels came off, guys, but they were off. And last night, look, that looked like how the power play looked in the beginning of the year, except they never shot it in the net. I'm more encouraged after seeing that, and I think the guys they have are too good to be, you know, to be skunked for too long here. It's been too long, but last night felt like a little bit of a tipping point.
So Randy Carlyle finally got his wish and got fired because you could tell, I don't know if you saw his comments over the weekend, but he was basically saying, I can't believe I'm still here. Like, this is shocking. What else do you want me to do? You know, and eventually he got fired, and Bob Murray, the GM, now is going behind a bench as a player. Like, let's say you're Ryan Getzlaff. You would have a relationship with Murray. He's been the GM for quite some time.
Yeah.
But does this affect you at all? Like, how are you supposed to react to your GM, who has no coaching experience at the NHL level?
Well, regardless of who takes over, there's always the ass-kissing stage where somebody's like, I got a fresh chance to work hard every shift and back-check and try to impress.
Win him over.
So who cares who's going behind the bench? There's always going to be that transition period where everyone's like, oh, new guy, I want a new opportunity. It's going to be different and awkward, I would imagine.
Well, the most awkward part would, I think, is, you know, in a lot of times the new guy comes in and nobody even knows the new guy. You know, he comes from the minors or he comes from another organization or, you know, he wasn't working at the time. And you're like, man, he doesn't know any of us. You can see them, they're staring at their name cards behind the bench because they don't even know which line goes where. Bob Murray built this team. And so there can be no surprises now. What I find interesting here is, so Murray goes down and he's got as close a view to whatever the heck he's going to do in the offseason. They don't want to bring Dallas Eakins up if he's to coach, if he's going to be the guy for next year. Those young kids are doing great in San Diego. And so now if you're Getzlaff or Kessler or Perry, the guy behind the bench just signed you to multi-million dollar contracts, right? He's the guy. And so I would think or hope that they would have some sense of loyalty. But, you know, guys, as you get older, when the team stinks, man, you know it stinks. And it's not ass-kissing time for those guys. It's, oh, my God, 26 games left.
Yeah.
That's where they're at.
Yeah.
But I agree. I think when the guy that controls all the moves is right there, you may see some phoniness too.
Oh yeah, you want somebody to act for the GM to say, man, I didn't know that guy worked that hard.
Yeah, you may see some stuff where guys are like almost like not an attitude adjustment, but you're like, okay, there's no putting up the facade anymore. Like he's going to see what the real issue is. If they have like
young guy will score a goal, will come back to the bench. Come on, boys! Come on, boys!
They're down 4-1 and yelling, yelling and screaming on the bench.
I used to love that.
Yeah.
Wow. But the one thing I would say too is so all the assistants are still there, and I think that the assistants will be far more involved in coaching the team than they would have been under Carlisle.
Yeah.
Because as you mentioned, Bob Murray's never coached. Like, he's never coached. So I would assume that gets a little confusing down there. Because there's lots of guys that have coached lots of games and they look confused. So when it happened, I went, you know what? That kind of makes sense. Because you're not going to get a guy to coach for 25 games.
No.
Like, go hire a new guy. Don't you think finally at some point the owner goes, I don't really care what you do, but make a change and you can't have any more money for a new coach.
That's basically what happened.
That sounds about right.
Like, obviously, Carlisle has to go optically. Like, from a PR standpoint, we have to tell our fans, you know, we have a pulse. Yes, we're watching the games too. We see what's happening.
Yeah.
But the owner was obviously like, you're not, there's no money. Like, you're not, and what, like, to your point, who are you going to, what do you think, Joel Quinville's going to jump on for the final 25 games?
Yeah.
You know, like, who are you going to hire at this point?
No, it's well known that Dallas Eakins is coming up next year and taking over that team.
Right.
I hope those poor people that went on the honeymoon. Winnipeg, 9-3. Toronto, 6-1. 4-1, 4-0.
Montreal and 4 Cobb, yeah, and Philly. I hope Dallas Eakins allows donuts in the media room this time around. If he goes on the hero routine, like that'll get tuned out by a veteran group too.
Oh,
but here's the thing though. Now, I'm certain, man. I hope he's learned some things, right?
Yes.
Like we all think we learn something anyway. I don't know if we do, but we all think we do. But a lot of these guys, if Eakins is going to be the coach, he's coached a lot of these guys already. Like they've got Max Jones and Sam Steele.
Yeah.
And Max Comtois, who was on the junior team. I'm forgetting one other one. Oh, Troy Terry. He's coached them all. Like, that's part of their core going forward, and they're all young. So it makes sense for him to be the next coach.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what'll happen, but it really should be of no concern if the media guys eat pizza for breakfast. Who cares?
Exactly.
Well, it might not be the worst idea for Hitchcock to implement that just for a distraction in Edmonton.
You think?
Just come out one day and be like, you know what? Forget that we got smoked again over the weekend.
No donuts for the crew?
This is what's important right now.
That's
only, you know, fruit and veggies up top.
Oh. Well, and Terry Jones will get into a feed.
I hated his comments after the game Saturday.
Yeah, so did I.
The coaches can't care more than the players. Stop it.
No kidding.
Seriously.
He's starting to distance himself.
Wow, he's
already
being a hero.
That's
already
exactly
crazy.
That's exactly what it was. Hey, don't blame me. I care.
Yeah.
Yeah. These guys don't care. They showed up and they don't care and they don't want to win. Like, yeah. It's total, I know I'm out of here and I don't want, if I can get this white out, you know, on my resume, just don't even include this.
Yeah.
That's what it screamed of to me.
It sounds like a guy that's retiring again and he's had enough and he's like, I'm not having any responsibility for this. I care, but these guys don't.
I hated that comment too.
See, to me, he just said, you know that's us versus them. It never works.
Yeah.
But I will say, after never coaching a day in the NHL, it is way easier to coach in the NHL than it is to play. You can do your job as a coach, and the team can suck, but you can still coach. And you can still do your job. It's not that easy. The team's not good enough. You can't be what you're not. Like, I'm sure, I just did something today, and I looked at, I'm like, how bad are their wingers? If you include Draisaitl as a centerman, in the last 10 games, I'll give you a guess. How many goals have the Oilers scored on the wing position in their last 10 games as a
group?
No, I'll say 9.
8. Yeah. 8 goals in 10 games, and they're playing with Draisaitl, McDavid, and Nugent Hopkins. Seriously. So you can say they're not trying. Maybe they're just not good enough.
Yep.
But that's not a comment a coach should make.
Well, and he couldn't stop himself either, eh? He just kept going and going and going.
Well, he backpedaled today.
Do you think there's an up-and-coming GM like that would say no to that job? Like, is that possible?
In Edmonton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, for a young kind of up-and-comer? I don't know who
depends
that would be.
On, it depends on
you want the Oilers job, and they'd be like,
Yeah, but a lot of
it... Is that possible? Somebody'd say no to that?
But a lot of it depends on... I maintain this, is how much control you're going to have from Darryl Cates. And the boys on the bus. That would be a tipping point for me.
I'd say it would be pretty bold for someone without any GM experience right. to turn down any offer. I would think.
Yeah. But if you're an AGM, you're an AGM and one that's viewed, if I don't know, Ray,
like a Josh McDaniels?
No, like, but like a Billy Guerin or a Tommy Fitzgerald or guys that are viewed as...
Kelly McCrimmon.
Like if Kelly McCrimmon... who seems to be viewed as, you know, not even seems to be. He's a bright hockey mind, helped put Vegas together very quickly. And if he goes to Darryl Cates, I need this, this, and this. And Darryl's like, whoa, hold on a second here. I want, like, he may just go, nope, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'll wait for the next opportunity because there is going to be another opportunity.
Well, Seattle's right down the road, too.
Right. You're right. I know what you're saying, Brian. Like, it's opportunity, and I get it, and you've got some pieces there that you can work with, but I think it's all about how much control you can have and creative freedom, because it doesn't seem like there's a lot there.
Well, we've beaten this dead. This horse has been dead for a long time, and we continue to beat on it, but Edmonton, like, Saturday felt a little bit... I felt like that was it, didn't it?
Because I keep telling you, San Jose is a team. I think they can come out of the West.
Well, of course. Everyone knows San Jose is a great team. I mean, that's not surprising. But, right. You know, like St. Louis, they beat Nashville, I believe, yesterday
back
again.
Back.
And, you know, Vancouver won on Saturday night. Like, yep. There's Edmonton's like 7 out now, 6 or 7 out. Yeah. And Hitchcock...
By the way, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, Brian. Just go ahead. Hitch is saying we're done. That's what it felt like to me. Yep. It was a mic drop on Saturday. That's it. It's over.
Like that, we can't catch. Look, we can't even win 3 games in a row. Look at, you know, that's what it felt like. Vancouver won. I don't know if you guys stayed up to watch that.
Yeah,
I did.
Great game.
They, Jacob Markstrom has to be quietly putting together one of the terrific turnaround stories.
Yep.
You know, he's been amazing. And our buddy Travis Green pulled out a great line there. They got outshot 18-1 in the second period. And he said, you know, after the first, we told the guys, look, we don't have our legs. Let's hem them in our end in the second period to tire them out. We used to say that in Atlanta. That was our line. We called it the reverse trap.
Yeah.
Let's hold them in our zone till they get tired. And then we'll go down and try and surprise them with a shot.
Yeah.
Well, that happened. Calgary, they're not slowing down either. You know, you talk about San Jose, it's a two-team race in the Pacific.
We haven't even given Calgary a lot of love. We talk about Nashville, right. Winnipeg. Like, Calgary's right
good,
there.
Man.
They're a good team.
Yep, they've been very good. Well,
would you get a goalie?
I would, but that's just
like a
me.
Starter, though? Are you going to take Riddick out of the net? Like,
I mean, they would have to be creative.
Dave.
You'd have to be creative, but I... Like, they have to think past this year. Both of those guys, like, Riddick's an RFA, Smith's going to be a UFA, and, like, Gillies and Parsons, like, they've got... I would be looking at somebody with potentially, like, that has some term that could help. I don't see Riddick as a 60-game starter, personally.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you. But what are you going to do this deadline? It's either Bobrovsky or nothing, isn't it? Like, who else would be available?
Well, what about Jimmy Howard?
Jimmy Howard or Johnny Quick, it may cost you more, but somebody like that, I don't know, and I'm not in the know. It's just...
A healthy Jonathan Quick would be an interesting move.
That would be a spicy meatball, man.
That would
be. He's on cost certainty at 5'8", too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. But I'm sure they're tinkering on everything. Why wouldn't
you? Man, they're a fun team to watch, boy. They can score and they can skate, and they got, maybe they'd add another forward for a little depth of scoring. But the one other thing about that game, you guys, did you see James Neal's chiclets?
Yes.
That was graphic of teeth popping out of your head as you're ever going to see.
But those have come out like 20 times. He told me and Gord the story of how the first time they came out, and he said now they're just, you look at them and they fall out. But that was awful. And there was, what, about eight of them, it seemed like?
He's got a mouth guard in, too, doesn't he?
I don't know.
Maybe he doesn't.
It's not working. If he does, it's one of the only time I've ever seen anything like that up close. Jeff Odgers was in a Odgy fight, a punch-in-the-face contest right in front of our bench. And he hit whoever the other guy was, and the guy's tooth came flying out of his mouth, and it went right over our shoulder. And Andrew Brunette looked at me, and his eyes were as big as saucers. And we're like, that's his tooth. And, like, between the two of us, we had, like, zero fights. And we're like, that's crazy. And Augie turns around, and he's all, like, hyper. And we're like, oh, man, that's crazy. He knocked a tooth right out of his head.
Yeah,
I think it was Ryan Vandenbush. I remember that.
There's another guy, too. Those guys, when they fought, you might as well have given them shovels to hit each other with. Crazy.
Yeah. Speaking of, he was up in the alumni box over the weekend. Ooh. Ryan Vandenbush.
No way.
I was terrified. He walked in. I'm like, that guy looks like he could still do some
serious
damage. He's
a great guy.
Damage.
He's awesome. But yeah, he looks like he could take care of business.
He was up in the alumni box.
Nice.
With esteemed alumni like myself. Yeah, those are crazy fights. Guy's teeth are popping out.
He played for the Leafs?
I don't know how he got up there.
Did he
play for the Leafs?
Yeah, I think he was.
I think he was. Yeah, short time late.
Short cup of coffee. Oh, he's got a coat.
I got his hockey DB up here.
He's got a coat.
I don't see him here with the Leafs. He was never... He had the same credentials I had on
Saturday
night.
There you go.
Did he have a jacket? No way.
I don't think he had an alumni jacket. He shouldn't, because that would be under false pretenses. He was a St. John's Maple
Leaf. Here, put it this way. You tell him to leave the box and see what happens.
That would have been hysterical. Some hero walks up and goes, we're going to need you to leave. We've looked up your hockey DB.
Yeah.
And then just a right hook comes
just
across.
Eating from a straw for a month.
All right, Ray. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
Yeah, on the way to Denver. Have a good one, boys.
Yeah, buddy. There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst. Ray joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline is the 2019 Toyota RAV4, the safest SUV. See for yourself at Maple Toyota and get rates from 0%. MapleToyota.com.